As we're waiting for people to join, just a reminder, if you are an EA member, to change your name so it says EA in so we can keep track of everything. I'm just going to wait another minute as people are popping in. All right, hi everyone. I'll go ahead and get started. So if you are part of the EA, just put an EA in your name on the Zoom screen. And so I'll go ahead and call the meeting to order at 12:02. And Jessica, whenever you're ready, you can start with the roll call.
Okay. Marcy Benda. Michael Boggs is here.
Here.
He's the thank you, Michael. Marcus Brooks. Frank Cantone. Sean Chang.
Here.
Carl Cornell. Erica Crawley.
Here.
Rebecca Dillon.
Here.
Bethany Dixon is excused. Jamie Doss.
Present.
Thomas Hambury.
Here, sorry.
That's okay. Thanks, Tom. Don Hinshaw.
Yep, I'm here.
Kyle Carnuta.
Here.
Ellie Crum.
I'm here.
Jeremy Cruiser is excused. Sophie Lanchas.
Here.
Sophie. Christine Mahoney.
Hello, present.
Kevin Phipps is excused. Stephanie Rissou. Yvonne Solis Cruz. Did I see Yvonne? I see you, Yvonne.
Yep, he just entered. Yep.
Thanks. Phil Sroka is excused.
I'm actually here. I got my days wrong, so
Oh, okay, great.
yeah.
I'll mark you present.
Thank you.
Kate Supran is excused. And Deb Serene, excused. Wendy Treat.
Here.
Jana Van Houten.
Here.
And Danielle Wyerson. Okay, so you have 15. You do have quorum.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Jessica. And thank you all for being here. I know we're close to winter break, so really appreciate it. And so I'll go ahead and get started with our land acknowledgement. Cornell University is located on the traditional homelands of the Gayakono. The Gayakono are members of the Haudenosaunee Confederacy, which is an alliance of six sovereign nations with a historic and contemporary presence on this land. The Confederacy precedes the establishment of Cornell University, New York State, and the United States of America. We acknowledge the painful history of Gayakono dispossession and honor the ongoing connection of Gayakono people, past and present, to these lands and waters. And so I wanted to see if anyone has any late agendas or late additions to the agenda. I don't see anything. So we'll go ahead and move right into approval of the minutes. So we're approving November 15 and December 6. Oh, Wendy, go ahead.
I have an amendment to the December 6 meeting minute. Okay. I was actually absent, but not marked as absent. My name's not even on there at all.
Thank you.
And unless anyone else has anything, I move to approve both sets of minutes by unanimous consent.
Seconded.
Great. Thank you both. All right. Now we're moving on to business of the day. And I'd like to welcome Jessica Reynolds here. She is going to speak to us about some, they're looking to make possible changes to the time away policy. So she is here to discuss that with all of us. So Jessica, I will let you take it away.
Thank you. Good morning. So nice to, or afternoon now. Good, nice to see you all. I'm here with Becky Hill, who's the AVP of Human Resources. Becky, I don't know if
you
can't see on my screen here, but yes, I am. I'll kick us off and then I'll tee it over to you, Becky. But I am an HR policy and compliance consultant, and I joined Becky's team this past August. And as Jana mentioned, we are just here to really get your thoughts and feedback on all things related to policy 6.9, which is the time away from work policy. We are at kind of the infancy stages of the revision process. We haven't even formed a policy advisory group. We haven't really, jumped right into the policies review process because we wanted to speak with you all and get your thoughts and feedback. And Becky, with that, I will kick it over to you.
Awesome. Thanks, Jess. Hey, everyone. Great to see so many faces today. And thank you so much for allowing us the time. I'm Becky Hill. I'm the Associate Vice President of Human Resources here at Cornell. And just as an FYI, maybe it'll be helpful in the future, I oversee staff and labor relations, HRIS and technology, benefits services administration, workforce planning, compensation, finance and administration for HR, and then policy and compliance as well. So really excited to be here. And yeah, so just mentioned, we are queuing up the time away from work policy in our review process. And so what better group to speak with than people who represent all of our folks across Cornell. And so I just wanted to share a little bit around our goals for the process. we have a number of current issues. And if you're not familiar with the time away from work policy or policies, there's one overarching policy with 9 sub-policies. And so in terms of current issues, we've identified a whole bunch of them, but would love to expand on that with your partnership. I think I'll go through them generally, things that we're thinking about. This doesn't mean there's any decisions made whatsoever, but it's really like, what are we going to, into the process with, and what can people expect that we will be evaluating, discussing, benchmarking, gathering data around, et cetera. So current issues, inclusivity of holidays recognized by Cornell. And so we've got 10 university holidays, none of which are Hindu, Jewish, or Muslim holidays. And so winter break is only a holiday season for some employees. I know I'm excited about winter break and don't want to take anything away from that, but definitely want to recognize that, lots of other Cornell folks have already celebrated holidays this fall or are going to in the new year for various Lunar New Year celebrations, et cetera. So another current issue that we're evaluating is the trigger to accrue additional time. So currently, as it stands, we accrue vacation and hap time. And right now, if you have been at the university for 10 years, you will start to accrue additional vacation time. And so that trigger mark being 10 years has definitely been discussed a lot, considering all the folks that have left the university and then come to the university in recent years, right? So is that still a relevant trigger point? And so that's something we're evaluating. Funeral leave, very specific, not necessarily inclusive of various cultures and practices around loss, grieving, and remembrance. So that's something that's on the table to be discussed and evaluated. the perception that some employees, depending on their college or units that they're part of, don't feel that they're able to take time away from work for well-being. And so how do we look at our policy holistically with that in mind? Inconsistencies in the way that our policy is interpreted and implemented. So that's something that we want to look at as we reframe the policy. And so some of our business goals, promoting inclusivity, embedding diversity, equity, inclusion into all of our decisions, addressing and promoting employee well-being, which has been a huge focus for the university in the last year or so, enhancing our current employee experience, but also underscoring Cornell's reputation as a best-in-class employer. So thinking about what's our employee value proposition for folks that aren't with us yet. It may not feel very lucrative right now that you'll get a little more vacation time if you stay here for 10 years, you know. So those are just some of those considerations, and other goals being more comparable with other Ivy League institutions. Real quick, if you took a look at the policies, thank you. That's awesome. A few things are out of scope for this conversation. Mostly the policies that are impacted largely by state or federal law. So we're putting out of scope flags on military leaves of absence, workers' compensation, short-term disability, because those, regardless of this massive policy overhaul process, we will update those if the laws change, and that will not be dependent on this type of overhaul process. So those are much more kind of like legal driven policies than the other portions of our policy. So with that, I've talked a bunch, and I'd love to actually open it up to hear from you. What we've been doing is kind of like listening tours. We've got a couple hands raised. And so let's start with Christy and then Phil.
Thank you, Becky and Jessica, for being here. Thank you for joining Cornell. Welcome. I have served as the chair of the Welfare Committee for several years now, and we have had many discussions, a lot of them that are on your list and some that might not be. And I would love to have you join us at the committee, and we can share some of our back conversations over the past couple of years. That would be wonderful. And if you could share your list of issues, I could then share back with you what we've discussed that's not on there. I think there were two things, and I'm remembering only one now. I know that New York State family leave is out of scope because it's law, but I would encourage a review of how that policy is being implemented across the various units. I do not believe there is consistency in implementation. The other comment was about, how Cornell defines and considers a family, I think is a very strong conversation that has come up many times. And I would encourage us to put that as a key kind of business principle in terms of inclusiveness of the family unit as well. Thank you for the work and the review.
Great. Thank you, Christy. And please invite us to anything else that you think we should be at. We want to be able to share as much as possible. You mentioned New York paid family leave. If you have specifics on any of our leave or the kind of the law-based policy implementation aspects, I would invite you, Justin, my email is both on, they're on this, I think they're on this invite. If not, we'll put it in the chat for you regardless. I would love to hear specifics if you're seeing discrepancies in the way these things are implemented, because that's one of my areas of expertise, so appreciate that. In terms of family and how we define family, yes, that's on the table. Particularly that has come up around funeral leave too, and not certain people may be more meaningful to us than those that are defined as family currently, right, in the policy. And so if you think about, and I'll just be really brief with this, but if you think about like federal law, it's pretty narrow in family. Cornell, as we implement our policy, has historically been a little bit more generous than that, but we are looking with a very conscious eye towards inclusion as we evaluate that. Thank you so much. So Phil, I'd love to hear from you.
Hello. Yes, thank you, Becky and Jessica, for being here. The question I had, so when I was reviewing the policy, I noticed that the motivation for the new policy was equity and safety. Now, in our discussions in the EA, we've been hearing from staff how they feel the equity is actually skewing the wrong way. And I was just hoping to hear from HR, like how this revamped policy is satisfying that. Were there complaints about the previous policy? Was there a reason why they went in and rechanged some of the procedures with time off and that sort of thing? Because we do have people, as we previously mentioned, with families and that feel like the burden is now on them. And I just wonder what the rationale was. I don't feel like that was very clear in the policy memo.
Okay, good question. So I think I should preface with this. I've been in the role for a few months now. So in terms of history, unfortunately, I feel like I'm not the person to be able to fill in on that. Jess, I don't know if that any of that is familiar for you. Probably not. Jess is pretty new in her role too. So Phil, if you don't mind, we are taking notes actively right now, and we will do some research into that if you're okay with it.
Absolutely. Yeah, I don't mean to put you on the spot. So if you
no
need
problem.
To follow
yeah.
up, that's quite all right.
Yeah, if I've got an answer, I'll give it, and I'll be very candid about that. Okay, so we're talking about a different policy. So okay.
Yes, that's what I was referring to, the inclement weather policy. That was the same thing.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I was just wondering what the motivation was for HR to change that, because from what I'm hearing is there's more complaints in the change than there was in the previous policy.
Okay. Yeah, that one, and still, since I am very new to having policy under my jurisdiction, I wasn't, again, super involved in that entire process, and neither was Jess. We both started August of this year. The policy was actually somewhat formalized by that point in time. So
can I just interject for a moment? I apologize. I just a couple of points of order for everyone. First of all, anything that's put in the chat is not part of the official record, so it does need to be verbalized. And the second thing is actually Jana, as our chair, is supposed to recognize speakers, not Becky as our presenter. I apologize, Becky, but again, just following Robert's rules and the process that we're supposed to do. So just as a reminder to everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, so we will go to Kyle, and then Erica, and then Kit.
Awesome, thank you. Thank you all for coming and speaking with us about this issue. I didn't see a memo specifically that we should have reviewed in advance. I was just looking at the website. so like this kind of a link, for example, which I'll put in the chat just to make sure I'm looking at the right thing. Could you direct me to if there is a specific link or a memo we should be looking at for this conversation? Oh, there isn't one. Okay.
There's not. No, that's why I was a little thrown off too. But it was really just if you have taken a look at the policies themselves via the website, that's all we've got at this moment.
Okay. I'm just thinking ahead to communicating to our communities to get more feedback and input. If there's anything like a specific call to action or like frameworks or guardrails for the conversation. And if there is some kind of a memo, like kind of the stuff that you verbalized at the beginning, Becky, would be really useful so that we can then share that with our constituencies and get their feedback too. And then just one more comment. So that's an ask. And then one more comment was about the New York State family leave policy. Is that just, my understanding was that the state law was just a floor and that the university could still go above and beyond. So is that in scope for conversation? And if so, could we maybe clarify what Cornell already does above and beyond what the state requires?
Yeah, so you are correct about that. That's how we approach every law, essentially, is federal law, state law is the floor. Cornell often goes above and beyond. How Cornell has gone above and beyond in terms of New York paid family leave is that's not been in scope either. I didn't call that one out in particular, but It's also not defined as clearly in the policy. So Cornell implemented New York paid family leave. I don't know if folks were around at the time of implementation, but the state had a tiered implementation that recognized year one, I think, 8 weeks at X percent. And I can't remember it. Maybe it was 45, 50%. Then it was going to go to 10 weeks at whatever percent. And then it's going to go to the full 12 weeks at 67%. Cornell implemented that very generously right at the outset. So we were at 12 weeks, 67% pay, whereas other employers, it was going to take about 2 to 3 years to get there. In terms of other ways that we go above and beyond with that policy, I will ask Jess to make note of that so that we can get that detail.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. And Erica, go right ahead.
Thank you, Jenna. So I wanted to ask about the catastrophic leave donation, if there was any plans to address that as well, because currently it only assists those who have a health-related event. So when things like a fire happen or like near-death car crash, right? Like, how are folks who don't have the time to really deal with that emotional and mental stress, what options do they have, because they cannot use the catastrophic leave donation because it's only for the health-related events that are attributed to, I guess, whatever traumas you may experience. So I wanted to know if there were any plans to address that as well, to include other types of catastrophic events that may occur.
Yeah, thank you, Erica, for asking that. It is on the docket, should be included. I kind of gave a broad overview, but under my broad overview is multiple bullet points for all the different types of things that we're going to consider. Cat leave is on the table for the reason you mentioned, but also because of challenges in different units and discussion around funding sources, et cetera. So in terms of right now, the catastrophic leave donation policy, it has been defined as a health-related catastrophic event. We can certainly discuss that further as the policy advisory group convenes. I do think it's important that folks know about other resources. Like, I know the CARE Fund is, those resources are limited, but that is intended for catastrophic events that are not health related. I also think it's important if folks have a catastrophic event happening that they know they should just ask. Asking the question is one, just a starting point, because colleges and units have at this time some discretion on how this is granted. And so I think that's a really important thing just to share. But thank you, Erica, for your point. And we have made note of that.
Thank you. And I have Kit up as the next person to ask a question. So go ahead, Kit.
Will you hear me? No, people can hear me. Okay, hi. I put this in the chat. I wasn't quite sure at the time what the roles were for non-EA members, but I'm actually the former EA chair, or EA, not EA Benefits and Policy Committee chair. So the EA has our subcommittees, or has subcommittees, and I would strongly recommend, I put this in the chat, working with Bethany, who's the current chair. I don't think she's here today. And maybe that's even a combo with Christy and Bethany to have a combined meeting, because I know this is a really valuable opportunity to be able to talk about some of these things in a little bit more in more depth, there are some members on that committee. I am still on the committee, who have been on for a few years, and we have history, and I know that this would be really valuable.
Great, thank you. Go ahead, Christy.
Thank you, Kit, that's a great idea. I remembered the other thing. my other thought was time away from work for wellness, I absolutely think is important and inconsistently followed across campus. I would also ask that there's consideration made for participation in shared governance. Currently, we experience, and I know we've raised it, but I think it's important to put it into this conversation, that there are employees who cannot participate in the shared governance process because their manager won't let them have time away from work to do so. If you review Cornell's basic commitment to shared governance, you would think that there might be a challenge with that, with that principle. So if we could somehow articulate in policy that it is reinforce our commitment to shared governance at Cornell and provide managers, employees with a way to access time away for participation, I think that would be a really strong move.
And Christy, can you just give me one example of like a that you're aware of, perhaps?
I think they might be in this call, actually. There is a staff member who wanted to put their name in the ring for representation of an organization on campus. They were a non-exempt employee, and they were told that they could only have a half an hour and they couldn't participate in anything more than the half an hour, take their lunch for it, and they weren't authorized to put their name in. I think that generates it generates a body that represents only a specific portion of our campus. And this person wasn't in the union, so it wasn't a union issue. It was a manager who was not finding a way to allow the employee the other half an hour off. Okay. For our meetings twice a month, and then for a committee meeting once a month.
Thanks.
Thank you. And Jamie, go right ahead.
Sorry for the delay. I had a comment, but it's not about the policies themselves. It was more so about, I think it was Kyle, I do believe. Kyle, that had brought up about that they weren't aware if we were supposed to have looked over materials prior to this call. And I think that's a great point that they bring up, because I think for the future, when we know that we're going to have guests come, that we'll probably have an expectation that we've looked at things in advance, that we should provide that information, you know, when we share out the agenda. So that way individuals do have time to look at the materials, come with questions, comments, et cetera, because it sounds like individuals didn't know that they needed to look at the policies in advance, and therefore they didn't really have time to come up with questions or comments. So I just wanted to put that out there for, you know, future meetings when we do have guests come, so that way, you know, we can all be prepared and be able to have a robust conversation.
Thank you. Thank you. Rebecca.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for being here. I just wanted to echo some of the earlier comments about parental leave. Even though it might not pertain exactly to what's going on in HR now, I do encourage HR to look at that policy closer. There are lots of other universities, especially other Ivy League and Ivy Plus universities, where those universities themselves contribute to parental leave and don't just rely on a state or federal policy. I think if we're going for a more inclusive staff environment, then having something that actually helps new parents bond with their children, as well as take the burden off of paying for high childcare, that having a better, for lack of a better word, parental leave policy would really go a long way. Thank you.
Thanks, Rebecca. And if you have specific suggestions, again, the more specific you'd like to get, we welcome those, and so please don't hesitate to reach out to us with that, or share it in the chat. We'll copy it and put it in our notes too.
Okay, thank you. And Allison, go ahead.
Thank you. I want to also echo the parental bonding leave. I really think it's a shame. At last I checked, and if this has changed, I apologize, but last I checked, I haven't seen that Cornell offers anything beyond what the state, and I don't know if it's federal, but the New York State paid family leave and any sort of disability leave that you can get. And then you have to use vacation or sick time, that kind of stuff. I think that's a real bummer. And I think that we can and should do better than that. And then also, yeah, support for childcare it's huge and critical. And I would like my employer to do more for that. I think, you know, as far as specifics go, you know, more than 12 weeks for bonding leave, that's, I mean, a lot more, I think. I don't know how we go above and beyond for parental bonding leave, I guess. If we do, I guess what I originally was going to ask was, am I understanding correctly that you're not able to speak to any specifics about parental bonding leave or the inclement weather policy changes for us today? Is that, that's just, it's, I don't mean like in a blaming way. Are you saying that you're simply not able to speak to that?
So, sorry, the parental bonding leave is one thing. The inclement weather is a totally different policy. So, and like I mentioned, it's not one that I did come prepared because I wasn't in this role actually while most of the work was being done to overhaul that policy. So what I can say though about parental bonding leave is the 12 weeks is the one portion, right? The New York paid family leave, 67%. The other portion of that, so the actual amount of leave time that people have access to is much longer under the policy right now. One thing that I'm not sure if this group is aware of is the amendment to New York State disability law. In the past, yeah, so Beth made a comment. Cornell does offer an additional 4 weeks after you've expired your New York paid family leave at 67%. And so that extends to 16 weeks, but then there's the short-term disability. The thing I wanted to mention for this group, which I think is really important and actually is a huge victory, is that in the past, if you wanted to begin short-term disability before the birth of a child, you would have to have a doctor who would sign off on that and complete a separate short-term disability claim. And a lot of, especially Tompkins County physicians, they've been very hesitant to do that. So the law has now been amended that effective January 1st, 2024, an expectant parent may now self-initiate their short-term disability leave up to 4 weeks prior to their due date, which is a huge victory. So I'm thinking like all of our folks who are very hands-on, I mean, regardless, I'm expecting right now, due in March, and I'm exhausted, you know? So I don't have to work as one of our custodians or one of our dining workers. You know, there are a lot of roles on campus, our groundspeople, that are very intense. And so now that option exists for expectant people to self-initiate, which I think is a huge win. And so that's one portion of this leave being extended from a different vantage point, and that's, you know, New York State's initiative. So I just wanted everybody to know that that's happening. That doesn't have to do with Cornell, right? We're implementing it according to the law, but it is a big victory in the law in this state.
Thank you.
Thank you. I would like to mention that we will be talking about the inclement weather policy here shortly. So if anyone has any questions, we will cover that at that time.
Thank you.
I'm going to go ahead with, I know I'm being mindful of time, so we'll need to start wrapping up our questions, but I will take Erica and then Wendy.
I just had a quick comment because sometimes it takes me a bit to process. So this is in relation to my question earlier. So I wanted to just add, like, if you could take into account, like with the catastrophic leave donation for folks who don't necessarily fall under that, because as a person who is going through something that will hopefully fall under this policy later, there's always that juggling of like, if I do take a short-term leave, right, will I be able to afford to live here in order to continue to do my job when I come back, right? As a person who doesn't have a multiple income household, it's just me, right? How do I then come back to work? I mean, if I can't afford to live in the space.
Yeah, thank you, Erica, for that. That's a really important consideration. And yeah, I appreciate you bringing that up. So we will, that was an aspect of this that we did not have on our consideration, like radar. The policy as a whole, it has been, but appreciate you adding that. And it will now be part of our talking points and part of our evaluation.
Okay, and Wendy?
I'm actually just going to echo what Erica just said. And with the catastrophic leave donation, I would love actually to see it be expanded to something more than just health related. I have a colleague who has just had all kinds of curveballs thrown at her over the last probably 3 months and has had to take a day here and a day there and a day there. And she's actually expressed to me that her leave time is pretty much nil. So I, having been here forever, wanted to donate time to her, and I was told I couldn't because it wasn't a health related. I wasn't able to donate even like a day of vacation or a day of HAP to her that she could use. So if there is some way possible to revamp the policy, the catastrophic leave, so that we can help our colleagues out if they're running low on time, that would be great.
Thanks, Wendy.
Okay. Anything else for Becky or Jessica? Okay.
Can I make one last mention if you don't mind, Jenna?
Go right ahead.
So again, just to thank everybody, really appreciate all the feedback. I think things that you have noticed as issues are very welcome. And I again invite you to share as much detail as you feel comfortable sharing with us, because that allows us to most specifically address the issues that you're seeing. But the other thing is kind of more forward facing, right? Of like, how are we comparing and how are we feeling as an employer? It doesn't necessarily mean like you've experienced this personally or you know someone who's experienced it. It's more so, what type of mark do we want to leave in the future? And what kind of experience do we want to create? And doing that proactively is another consideration. So I think correcting things, that's part of it, but doing more like proactive work on this policy is a big consideration. So thank you.
Thank you. And I see one last hand. So one last question with Kyle. Go right ahead.
Thank you. I'm sorry if I missed this earlier, but could you share the time frame for your review and also if there's a specific deadline by which you want comments from this session?
Sure. So we're starting to meet with the University Policy Office in January, right when we get back from break, I think, immediately. And then we will form the Policy Advisory Group. And then we anticipate the process is going to take probably 8 or 9 months to go through. So if I were going to give you a ballpark estimate, it'd be great to have feedback in the next 3 months, just so that it can be part of the bulk of the initial conversations.
Thank you. And we have time for one last question with Christy. Go ahead.
No question. I was just going to thank Becky for that last comment. I think in my experience and in my exposure on this campus, so many employees are at the breaking point. It's almost as though we pushed through the pandemic, we returned, tried to get everything put right-sided, and now people are like really struggling. And being able to look at these policies with the eye to the full person and the full health, I think is like a tremendous discussion. And I will invite you, I'm going to send you a note right now, because I know my committee would very much welcome engaging with you in that conversation, how policy generates culture and belonging and the opportunity we have at Cornell with that. So really, really appreciate you being here today.
Awesome. Thank you. Yeah, we'll look forward to talking to that group and others that you all suggest too.
Thank you again, Becky and Jessica. Really, this was a good conversation. So 3 months to get your feedback in, but probably better sooner rather than later. So with that, we will move on to the next item, which is the president's address to staff. This has just been scheduled for January 11th. That is a Thursday at noon to 1 in G10 Biotech. It will also have a Zoom option. So with that being said, we are looking for in-person volunteers. I know Wendy and Jeremy Cruiser, I believe, have already, volunteered. So if anyone else is available and willing to do so, that would be excellent. You can send me an email or the EA exec team an email. All those emails are available on the website, but my net ID is JV83. So feel free to do that. We are also, I sent an email to all members today that we are looking for nominations for the EA Appreciation Award. The nominations are due by this Friday. So looking for those as well. Wendy, do you have anything to add?
No, it would be helpful. I'm actually going to be the one online and or like asking the questions that are submitted virtually because it is a hybrid event. And I believe Jeremy, or we might flip it. Jeremy might do the virtual because he works remotely and then I'll be in person, but it is helpful to have another person in the audience as well to kind of manage the questions and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Or even just have people there to greet people as they come in and we can maybe get some more interest in people joining the EA as well. So,
mm-hmm. Great. Thank you. All right. With that, so we had a chance to speak to leadership about the inclement weather policy. So I just wanted to provide a little feedback about that. So really, there was a lot of review that went into this, keeping in line with how many people now have a hybrid schedule. And a lot of this came from the need to honor the employees who are fully on site, who do not have the opportunity to work remote. So, that was a real impetus for this is, they often feel overlooked. They really cannot use the flex work arrangement. So this really provides them with an event that happens maybe one time a year at most, the opportunity to have that kind of a, I don't want to, you know, that not a reward, but that the opportunity to have the day off. And that also keeps in line with the staff that we have all over the country, the remote staff, that they will continue to work because they are not impacted by the weather events that are happening here in the Finger Lakes. I know Marcy took a lot of notes. She's not here. I don't know if Wendy was on that call, I believe, and Sophie was on that call. If you have anything to add, please feel free to chime in.
I unfortunately did not take notes during the meeting. So I think what you were just saying is about the gist of it, but Marcy actually may have more to add.
Mm-hmm.
So perhaps we can reach out to Marcy and ask her if she can share her notes or comments from that meeting with the EA.
Okay, that sounds good. Okay, so we do have quite a bit to get through, and I know that the two people are not members of the EA, but I will provide you a small opportunity to ask a quick question. First, I'll go with Christy.
I was just wondering if there was any discussion, and Jeremy's not here, but I can hear his voice in my head saying, why the policy committee didn't come to the EA to discuss it before it was released? Get our questions, concerns, feedback, whatever. Was that part of the conversation?
Absolutely. And we did raise that question with leadership, and that will be something that they do moving forward. And Tom, go right ahead.
Yeah, thank you. This goes back to what you were saying before about the policy itself. I'm new to the EA, et cetera, but have in the past worked in human resources at other places. And mostly where I've worked in human resources, when the university is closed, okay, but people are required to be there, are they not afforded comp time for that they can use at other times? That's a way of recognizing and helping people when they don't have the choice to be there. They need to be there for their jobs in hospitals, in other kinds of settings, in security settings, et cetera. But that's a very traditional way of treating these kinds of policies when people have to be somewhere and the university is allowing other people to do other things.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I think they are provided time and a half. Wendy?
I was actually going to say, if you do have to work and you're considered essential, it is time and a half. I do actually recall one other comment that leadership did make when the executive committee met with them. As far as the policy, the inclement weather, it really is affects maybe 1 or 2 days a year. And I know, speaking personally, having been at the university 35 years, there's probably only like 10 days out of that 35 years that the university is actually closed for inclement weather. So that was a comment that during the winter season, which is typically when the inclement weather happens, it's like 1, possibly 2 days. So that was a comment that came from leadership.
Thank you.
Just a clarification. I think I was saying that the people who worked on those days would, of course, get time and a half because the university was closed. It was treated like a holiday or something along those lines. But in addition to that, they would get comp time for the time worked because the university was closed. So I don't want to belabor this. I was just curious, are those kinds of things not afforded here?
I can speak to that. I mean, it is something that's afforded. And just to respond, remind people that comments and statement questions that are put in chat are not part of the official record. So if you do have something to add to the conversation, please raise your hand, be recognized by Jana, and then make the comment. So Yvonne actually just put in chat that some exempt employees do not get comp time at 1X. I'm wondering if this is something that needs to be further explained to supervisors to ensure they follow policies for their employees. As an exempt employee myself, I don't get overtime. I don't get any of that sort of thing. So it is kind of geared more towards the non-exempt staff if they're working on, during an inclement weather day. Exempt staff, again, my own personal perspective and understanding is if, you work when you can, it can be at 2 o'clock in the morning, whatever it might be. But yeah, because we're not hourly, that we don't get the comp time.
Thanks, Wendy. Being mindful of time, Kit and Allison, I am going to move on to the next topic, but you are welcome if we have time during open discussion to bring this back up. I just thank you for your engagement. I just want to make sure that we're able to cover everything. We do have a long agenda today and we still need to vote. So with that said, our next meeting will be January 17th. So we will skip that first week in January. And now I'm going to ask if Jessica or Eric are able to, I jumped ahead of myself. We have Brian Arnold here today. He is going to speak a little bit about himself, and he is looking to fill an incidental vacancy. For the non-exempt position. So Brian, if you would like to go ahead and speak a little bit about yourself, then we can open it up to questions from our EA members.
Okay, thanks. So my name is Brian. I have an MFA in photography, but work at Cornell as an Indonesian and Malay language specialist in the library technical services and library. I've gotten interested in recent weeks, months of getting more involved in governance and self-governance, just born out of frustration of particular patterns I see emerging at Cornell. In addition to the work I do here at Cornell, I also teach adjunct at Ithaca College. And in recent months, I've been trying to get more involved with the union leadership for adjunct, which is why.
Great. Thank you, Brian. Okay, Wendy, go ahead.
I just have first a comment. I actually used to work in the Southeast Asia program, Brian, so I'm very familiar. I took a year and a half of Indonesian with Bu Yolanda.
Mm-hmm.
Good job. My question mainly, it kind of echoes back to what we were just talking about with the leaves and all that kind of stuff, is being on the EA, we have 2 meetings a month plus committee, and I just want to ensure or ask you that you have the capacity and also approval in order to make the commitment that comes with being on the EA. Because again, that has come up in the past that non-exempt and exempt staff both have run into that where they've kind of hit a wall with being able, you know, able to participate.
Yes and yes. I do feel I have the capacity, and in part, like, to be totally blunt, some of that is just because of the remarkable understimulation of my work. Like, I'm interested in getting involved in things like this because I'm interested in having more challenges in daily life. And it's one of my supervisors who encouraged me to join.
Excellent. Anyone else have a question for Brian before we move into voting? Wendy.
I have one other question. So I think your statement had said that you are interested in the non-exempt employee representative.
Yep.
Is that correct?
Yep.
That in itself, so I'm the exempt employee representative. And so trying to reach my constituents, it's a lot. And like, I don't have a dedicated, there's some colleges have their rep, they have a college newsletter that they can reach out to, or some of the diverse, you know, the affinity groups. They have Jeremy is representative for the veteran, you know, the veteran representative, and he actually has a colleague network group that he can reach out to. How would you handle reaching out to 5,000 non-exempt staff if you're like, if you're put into the position?
That is a really good question that I don't necessarily have an immediate answer to, just because that will be something I'll have to learn more about doing. I can say that a reasonable portion of my colleagues are non-exempt. So much of my daily work environment would be my constituency. And I know it's a great deal bigger than that, but in terms of kind of reaching a broader network, that's something I would have to learn more about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyone else have anything? Okay, well, Jessica or Eric, I think we are all set to be moved into a private breakout room, and we will be right back. So all non-EA members, just hold tight. Great. Welcome back, everyone. Thank you for your patience. So, Brian, we are pleased to welcome you as our non-exempt employee assembly representative. So, welcome.
Great. Thank you.
Yeah. Great. And Looks like now we'll move on to committee reports. I'm not sure if there's that much to report, but we can kick it off with the executive committee. As part of that committee, we at this point are really preparing for the president's address. That is the main focus for right now. So I don't know if Sophie or Wendy have anything to add. If you do, please feel free to jump in. Okay, I think that's it for the executive committee. Sophie, if you'd like to go ahead with the communications.
Sure. So we sent out the email for the president's address, I believe on Tuesday, to let everyone know. The EA Voice December newsletter is complete, and we're planning to send it out today. I don't know what time exactly, but it will be coming out today. We also have two spots open on the communications committee for we need two more EA members. So if anyone is interested in being a part of the communications recognition and outreach committee, please let me know, and you can email me. And I think that's about it from me today.
Thanks, Sophie. And Jeremy Cruiser is not here. If there's anyone on the education committee with an update, please go ahead. Wendy?
So the education committee met last week. I had to look at my calendar. It was a short meeting. There was discussion about part-time bachelor's degree that might be coming our way possibly. And then also, just as a side note, but it still kind of falls under education, but it may fall under some other committees as well, is just some onboarding, training, mentoring for new EA members. I did mention during the meeting that I'm going to put together kind of like a short Zoom, you know, half hour Zoom session for all of our new members, both those that joined us in the spring when we had our election and for the ones that have joined us since then via the incidental vacancies. But then there was further conversation about possibly, do we set up like some modules or trainings or something like that so that people can get caught up? Because actually, Tom, you might be able to speak to this as well, because you were there and you're the one that brought it up. Just for people coming in fresh, they don't, you know, it's like, wait, what am I supposed to do? And I think even if members that have been on the EA for a while, if they want to join it as well, it might be, if just as a refresher, it might be helpful. I know, speaking for myself, a lot of people kind of look to me for questions, answers, whatever it might be, because I've not only been on the EA, but I was also in the OA, so I kind of can offer a different perspective, but there are even things that I don't know and that I'm not aware of or anything like that. So I think it would be helpful for anyone that's interested in joining that to come and join it. But there'll be more information coming out about that. We're looking possibly at like maybe that last full week of January, because we only have just the one meeting, EA meeting. So possibly like January 24th, it would still be held during our regular meeting time from noon until like 1. So if people can make it, that would be great. And again, like I said, I'm going to hopefully put together like a one pager or like a 2-pager of here are some things that you need to know as being an EA member, or helpful hints, tips, whatever it might be. That was pretty much it though from the exec or from the education committee. Unless Tom, I don't know if you have anything else to add to that. You're muted.
Yeah, I know. Sorry. I think that was very complete. We're going to get briefed. I've reached out to the appropriate person to get briefed on what's going on with the part-time, with the status and of the part-time bachelor's program at Cornell. But that's going to have to happen. I believe she is on break at this point, and I got a response, but it'll happen to the committee after the break. So I'll brief the committee, and then you can decide. Committee can decide whether it wants to brief the membership at that point. And I'm not sure exactly what we decided about where to refer the idea for some sort of an orientation for new members. Several of us believe that that would be very helpful and appropriate, and it involves other groups and committees as well. So we're going to have to figure out where we refer that and how we put that together to see if we can get something going. That's all. Thanks.
Great. Thank you so much, Wendy and Tom. Okay. And Christy with the Welfare Committee.
Hello. Our last meeting was really a review of discussions over the past year, setting an intention for our spring meetings and guests and follow-up conversations that we wish to have, one of them being with Becky and Jessica. So this was perfect timing for us. And we will be inviting them to a meeting in the spring. That's pretty much it.
Great. Thank you, Christy. Okay. And Bethany with the Benefits and Policy Committee. Bethany is not here. I do not believe there are any updates for that committee. So I will move on to Wendy with the Elections Committee.
So I have a meeting scheduled with the Office of the Assemblies on January 2nd when we return from break to start discussing planning for our spring elections. Also, I sent out a reminder to the Elections Committee today to please fill out. I sent a doodle poll so that we can get a meeting in early to mid-January to discuss the language in the election rules, criteria, that sort of thing. Also, I noticed from last meeting that there was a discussion about absences from, you know, if you're absent from an EA meeting, kind of getting a little off track there. I'm putting my parliamentarian hat on. As far as absences, it would have to be a resolution from the executive committee and then put forth to the assembly members. Although I'm on break, I actually am planning on reviewing our governing doc over break to see, because I know there are items that need to be updated in that. So I am happy if anyone has any suggestions or feedback or any input that they might have, especially geared towards like the absences, that sort of thing. Happy to address them. You can send them to, I actually have an email, a-parliamentarian@cornell.edu. But yeah, if for right now, it does stand that if you're going to be absent from a meeting, to contact Marcy because she is the executive vice chair. If you don't contact her, it's considered an unexcused absence. And right now, as our governing docs stand, it's two unexcused absences, and you could potentially be unseated. There is an opportunity to be reseated. However, a little bit of a process, but it is in our governing docs. But that's pretty much it for exec committee. So yeah, if you're on the executive or the election committee, if you're on the election committee and you have not submitted your doodle poll times, I would appreciate it. Ryan, I believe as non-exempt, I'll have to look to see if you're actually on the elections committee now or not. Election committee members are all EA members whose seats are not up for election in the coming election. So I'll look to see when your term ends. And if you are part of the election committee, I'll send you the doodle poll so you can join us as well.
Great, thank you. Okay, so that wraps up our committee reports. Moving on to liaison reports. Does anyone have anything from a liaison committee? Those may be wrapping up too for this semester. The University Assembly has not met. Christy.
I can offer the Faculty Senate met twice over the past couple months. There will be coming some changes to transcripts for the students who had an incomplete and to references of median grades in the course catalog will no longer be listed. And also they began a discussion with an intention for spring around transactional delays. So they framed it as transactional delays. So a faculty member travels, they need reimbursement, it takes a really long time. They need something from HR, an answer to hire a graduate student, and there are transactional delays, which is impacting research. There's material transfer agreements, and they were very broad and it covered a lot of things. And it was very interesting to me, this connection to the world of us, right? We're doing the work. They weren't offering criticism. They were suggesting the university needs to pay attention to metrics so that they know where to put resources to address. So there might be some faculty allyship here. If you're feeling your group's overworked, they might be on your side to get you some staff. So I thought it was very interesting.
Great, thank you, Christy. Okay, I think that's it for liaison reports. So we'll move into a very brief open discussion. We don't have a lot of time, but if anyone has anything that they would like to bring up right now, please go ahead and raise your hand. Kyle, then Phil.
Thanks. Yeah, just something quick. I know I was just elected like last time we met, so I'm very new, but I've reached out to our comms folks at Cal's and at Extension to send out some regular messaging to my constituency. And I was planning on offering some kind of like an office hour once a month to folks to come and sit with me and talk about issues and then hopefully have some kind of communication that goes out regularly. I was just wondering, doesn't need to be a conversation, but if anyone's done something like that, if you could just put your email maybe in the chat so I can reach out to you for best practices.
Excellent. Thank you, Kyle. That's a great idea. Phil, go ahead.
Yeah, I know I sent you, Jana, an email while we were discussing, but I just wanted to offer to Wendy as well with the president's address. I'm in Caldwell Hall in the ad pod, so I'm not far from where it's going to be held, and I'm more than happy to be an extra hand there. So reach out to me if you need anything.
That's wonderful, Phil. Thank you so much. Really appreciate it. And if we have no other EA members with an open discussion item, I am going to quickly move on to Allison for one last question or comment. Go ahead, Allison.
Thank you. Was there any discussion from leadership about the inclement weather policy in the context of the fact that there's going to be more extreme weather coming? Like there already is, obviously. There's something weird. There's something that feels a little bit iffy about that. I know I said in the chat, the fact that like, I understand that people live in different places, especially now we have more distributed teams. But if anything, that seems like, and with more extreme weather coming and happening and coming, it seems like a reason to figure out a way to have an equitable policy for people all over the place, not just getting rid of it.
Yeah, I can't speak to that point. But, you know, if that is something, a pattern that continues, we can, you know, certainly bring it up with leadership in the future. But I don't know if that unique item was addressed.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, Thanks. Though.
Yep. No,
yeah,
sure. I
really appreciate the engagement. Okay. Does anyone have any last things? If not, I just want to thank you so much for being here and, hope everyone has a wonderful winter break, and I would welcome a motion to adjourn.
To adjourn.
Seconded.
Thirded. Fourth.
Okay. See you on January 17th, or the president's address. Bye-bye, everyone.